Coming up on TMS, here's some no-nos for you.
Fargo is really good, don't you know?
Finally. Aunt Law, suit sucks.
Did you really put the emphasis on the right words in that one?
I think it was Aunt Lawsuit sucks.
There we go. Batman could go rated R.
Oh, damn it, awesome! Okay, sorry. Shatner is still a jerk to Sulu.
Old photo gets big money.
Recommendals.
The best opening ever, Tom's Tech Time and more. Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Scooby-Doo, you want a Scooby Snacks?
Yes, I want a Scooby Snacks.
Oh, here you go, Scooby-Doo.
Money is honey. This is The Morning Stream.
There you go. That's the beginning of the weirdest show beginning ever. Yeah,
that's the sign of an award-winning podcast. We're not going to redo that. No way.
Yeah, People's Choice, comedy, 2 years running.
No.
2 years, right? 3 years. 2 years.
Comedy podcast, 2 years running, but you can only win the People's Choice every other year.
Yeah, what do you think they're going to do this year? You think they're going to? What are they going to do?
Well, here's the thing.
Have you heard things?
I don't know if there's going to be a podcast expo this year.
Oh. Well, I've heard precious little about it.
Yeah, so. There's been a lot of shakeups and stuff going on in the Portable Media Expo, Podcast Expo, New Media Expo, whatever they're calling it. Management. Team.
Some strife in there or something going on?
Well, I don't know any details. I just know that the person who ran the Facebook group that managed speakers and people like that, you know, all the kind of the organizational details, left a very cryptically angry message and shut down the group and then asked us to, if we wanted to keep the group, to change the name of it to something that doesn't reference the New Media Expo.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not then. Who knows?
So now the podcast awards for many years operated separately from the New Media Expo. Todd was doing that out of his spacious palace in Hawaii over video stream.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he may take it back. It's time to take it back. I thought he sold it to them though or something, didn't he?
I think he did. Yeah,
yeah, I wonder if that means he can't go near it. So I'm that's very curious. That leaves a nice, interesting little crater there for. Yeah. For awards,
I get the Podcast Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah, there's that thing.
Yeah.
I have opinions. I'll save them for now. I have opinions.
Scott, you have opinions?
What? I know. It's weird, right, to hear that? That
so
I have opinions?
Weird.
I have opinions.
I can't believe that.
It's very strange. Okay, here's the deal. Here's the dealio, folks. Yeah. I had planned on capturing a bunch of audio and dumb comments from the Democratic debate last night. Mm-hmm. I hate to let all my friends who hate Democrats know, sadly, there wasn't too much good audio. Like, it was kind of just normal and pedestrian, and some would say boring, others would say productive, others would say business as usual, others would say whatever, but none of it was, like, soundbitey. Like, it was all just kind of, like, answering questions and kind of sort of decorum, and there were no Trumpy moments at all, which sucked. I mean, for us, it sucks.
Even the Today Show had a really hard time pulling out sound clips. The only one that they really seemed to harp on was was Bernie Sanders saying, I think people are getting tired of hearing about Hillary's emails.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, media, knock it off.
Yeah, get off her back or whatever.
As opposed to any sort of slight against Hillary. It almost seemed like...
But it's not it's just that was just them being friendly. Like, there wasn't enough...
No.
I don't know. Right. Not that I need... Listen, I don't want more derision in politics. In fact, if anything, I try to represent a point of view that is non-derisive. I'd like to find common ground. I think it's great when you know, it'd be great if Donald Trump would lean over to Jeb Bush and go, you know I say a lot of mean things, but but really, you're a hell of a guy. You're going to be huge, or whatever.
if I was going to be voting for anybody, Jeb, it would be you.
It'd be huge.
I was describing it before the show as like watching an episode of Futurama and Mom, like the the megalomaniac industry leader Mom, and all of her children. That's kind of what it was like watching the debate last night, because
yes,
she was clearly running the show. She was the most comfortable up there, and the poor two guys on the end felt like
I didn't even know who those other three dudes are.
It was like, you know, those stone lions that they have in front of libraries that are on either side of the steps. That's what these guys were.
They felt like filler. Like, well, we can't just have two people on stage. It can't just be old man Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. It has to have two other people, so let's just pull some dudes in. I didn't know they were running. I don't even know who the heck these guys are.
They even know they're running. And still, you know, Joe Biden's still relaxing on top of that fence.
Yeah, just chilling up there.
Really made a decision one way or the other. But
big grin on his face.
I don't feel like, I feel like, boy, what's the best way to put it? I feel like there are a lot, but not all, a lot of bad choices on the Republican side and not enough good choices on the Democratic side.
Entirely accurate depiction of the problem. I agree with you 100%. I really like Bernie Sanders. I wish Bernie Sanders wasn't 1,004 years old.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be ageist, and I know he's not that old in comparison to other presidents when they are elected or whatever, but I feel like like Ron Paul, who also kind of liked, by the way, his problem was he just looked like an angry, disheveled neighbor guy.
Yeah, right.
Who's just, damn it, who's borrowed the lawnmower again kind of face all the time. And I get the same vibe from Bernie Sanders. So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting election thing. But speaking purely from an entertainment value on the show today, they just didn't say anything controversial or dumb.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm glad I followed that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that was a lot more entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, how was it? Is it premiere? Was it?
No, second week.
Oh, okay. How's that? I've still never seen a single episode of that show. So.
Never? None of them?
Nope, none.
And you're a comic book guy.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. There's something about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that made me nervous to go near it, and I don't know why.
It was you were bitten by heroes, right? Once bitten by heroes, twice shy or something?
I think so, and I don't trust network TV as much as I used to. Like, sure. They kind of blow it a lot. And,
sure,
and
if this was on HBO, you would have been on it in a second.
Yeah, and when they do
Netflix,
when they do succeed, they either cancel it early or they treat it badly, like Friday Night Lights got, you know, shoved to the corner, one of the best shows ever made, and the Hannibal, which is really good, got canceled way too early. Like I just don't trust network TV to do it right. Whereas cable always seems to. But.
I'd say you're fine, and you're you know, it's got staying power. It found itself about halfway through the first season.
Mm. And then from there, we're good.
And ever since then, it's been really good. And the sad thing is, I mean, you still need to watch the first half of the first season just to kind of get all the setup and everything that that comes later. But
I can watch it.
Bill Paxton is fantastic in it. You got Peter McNichol.
Mm, I like him.
Why am I dipping with goo?
Yeah, he's the one that had the whistly nose in Ally McBeal.
Yes,
yeah,
that's the one. He's made a few appearances. Sif has actually been on the show, and as has Samuel L. Jackson and Kobe Smulders. And
oh, good. Oh, I like her too.
It is worth checking out. It's worth binge watching. As a matter of fact, that's actually, if you haven't seen it, that's actually the better way of watching it, because that first half of the season felt so slow. But if you binge watch, it's going to feel like it goes a lot faster.
All right. Well, maybe I will. I did finally sit down and start a show that is my absolute cup of tea. Just entirely the thing I want in life. Started watching the first season of Fargo, which I just didn't get around to. And now that I've got Hulu and that whole season's up and there's no commercials, like, life is better. Mm-hmm. But I finally watched that first episode last night. Holy shite. That show is so good, dude. It is.
It's great. Billy Bob Thornton's great. And
going into it, I thought, all right, I know that the Coen brothers agreed to be executive producers on this. And I know that it has their blessing. But I still, a piece of me, and I talked to all my friends, including you, who are like, oh, it's the best show last year and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still, though, approached it like, yeah, but can it really match that weird mix of quirk comedy, weird and violent and, you know, hard to describe combination of elements, almost Twin Peaks without being quite Twin Peaks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just thought, sure, there's no way the show's going to pull that off. Like, it's going to be good. I'm sure it's fine. I don't know what Martin Freeman's doing in this first season. Like, that's weird. Blah, 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 right? Then I get in there. I am completely blown away. Like, this is really, really awesome in all of those ways I just mentioned.
This is not your Bilbo.
No, he's
or your Arthur Dent.
He's so good.
He's really good. He's really, so versatile.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. He's the man, and people need to keep their eye on that guy. He's a rising star.
He's
see?
Going places.
He's
you know,
going
he'd
places.
Make a really good Watson, I think. On if you
threw
him on a TV show about Sherlock, I think you'd make a really good Watson.
That's a great idea. We should really push that agenda, get a little...
You'd make a really good Arthur Dent.
Yeah. Like a signme.org. What's that called? Where you do a little thing on...
One of the petition ones?
Petition.org or whatever, and let's get that going. Let's make that a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Fargo, very good.
Yeah. I'm very excited to keep going. And Billy Bob Thornton, who I also just expected to be like, it'll just be Billy Bob doing what Billy Bob does.
Yeah.
Nah, this is different, dude. He's like the Lord of Chaos in this.
He really is. He's
I'm one episode in, Brian. I feel like I've seen an entire film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is rare on TV. So these are the things on TV that attract me is this stuff.
The cast is great.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. So yet again.
Tom Hanks' son on there, right?
Oh, yeah, Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks.
Who looks a lot more like Tom as he gets older.
He looks more, you know who he looks like is, I think in you were the one who pointed this out to me, is that he looks like Woody. Like it's not so much that he looks like Tom Hanks, he looks like Woody.
Yeah, Woody the I don't think that was me, but you're totally right. Woody, toy Woody. Yes. Oh, that's weird. Even his voice, so he's in the car talking to his daughter in that first episode, and his voice sounds like Tom Hanks talking, like Woody talking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's going to ruin the whole season for me now.
No, just put on a cowboy hat. Let's see.
Anyways, it's my boots are too big. Or what's he say in the show? My boots are off. What does Woody say? His famous line, you pull a string and he goes, oh, there's a snake in my boots.
Oh, right.
Now I'm just going to picture that every time.
There you go.
My boots are too big. What am I saying? all right. I love it, though, and I'm really jazzed to keep going, and I can't wait to get back around to this new season, which I'm also hearing amazing things about. So very excited, which just started, I think, over the weekend, I think. And it's set in 79, right?
That's correct, yes. I have not... 79, what?
Yeah, the year 79.
Oh, it takes place in 1979?
Yeah, so the whole new cast, all new people, totally different story, set in a totally different time. So the original.
There's so many shows doing this now.
Yeah, right? I love this anthology thing, kind of like American Horror Story, except less schlocky, I suppose, or whatever. It's less of a trope, but it's this idea of saying we have a whole self-contained season, end to end, and there is a reference like
Oliver Platt,
right? But there, who's the shit?
Well, I guess Oliver Platt wasn't in Fargo, but it's something. I wonder if you've gotten. Have you gotten to that point yet?
No.
Where you know?
I'm only first episode in.
I know. I'm just trying to remember when in the season they really make that Fargo connection, like where this connects to the movie.
Oh, I don't know. I know. I have not.
Okay, good. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear you after that moment.
I love that idea. That sounds great. I didn't know they connected. Well, because the movie was set in 87. This is set in 2006. And this new one is set in 79. Mm-hmm. And the 79 one is based on a crime referenced in this the first season by Carradine.
Oh, really?
Okay. The old guy runs the restaurant. That's the dad of the daughter deputy lady. I'm not giving anything away here if you haven't seen the show.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think his character is in the 79 one, just some young actor plays him. Anyway, I can't wait. I can't wait to freaking binge this thing and just eat it up. I'm addicted and I'm only one in. So
can you think of... So American Horror Story does it. Same actors, but different characters and different thing every time. Right. Fargo's doing it. To some degree, The Leftovers.
Yeah.
Another great show, HBO show.
Yeah, I have not seen that first episode yet, but I've heard that it's very much like that.
It's kind of doing that. I mean, basically, four of the main characters from the first season continue in a different location.
Yeah.
What TV show would you like to see this happen with?
Oh man, that's an interesting question.
Like season after season, different cast, different group of people.
That's a fascinating idea. I mean, cause this must seem risky to some, like.
Totally. Right. Cause, True Detective, another good example.
Oh yeah. True Detective. I'm so sad that new one didn't, no one liked the new one. I haven't seen it. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did. We watched the whole thing from end to end. And I don't know why.
And it was it poo?
We kept hoping it would get better.
Was it just constant poo? Was it just never came around on itself? Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird to me.
I mean, well, it
how much did that first season hinge on those two performances then, I wonder?
It really did a lot. And on a crime that was intriguing and compelling. And this one was just like, crap is bad in the middle of California. Wow, what do you know? Oh, this guy has money and wants more. Huh, okay.
Great.
This guy's a dirty cop.
Okay, well, then I will not bother. It sounds like I really don't need to bother. Right. And I should keep the purity.
No, don't bother. No. Save your time. Watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. instead of True Detective Season 2.
Speaking HBO, I have something to share with you.
Yeah, sure.
While I think about a show that could do this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Somebody suggested True Blood. That might have actually made that show much better if you didn't have to deal with Sookie and Bill every season.
That would have been so much better. Complete agreement. Well, I
guess you can't really count Fear the Walking Dead, although that's kind of a similar thing.
It's a spinoff, and it's going to be its own
like
contained
CSI
thing.
Sure.
I don't think that one counts as well, but I can't think of a good one.
Yes. Maybe that's it. Maybe CSI instead of doing.
Oh, that'd be great.
We can't come up with more ideas for Las Vegas. We just, instead of doing multiple locations simultaneously, they just say, all right, this one will be LA CSI.
Well, in the mood I'm in, it would be in Minnesota and it would be in the middle of the winter. I mean, that's where I want my CSI now.
Yeah.
At least for the next little binge watch. Anyway, all right, so I got to read this HBO casting call thing. So HBO, when they're casting a new show, they have I'm sure most shows have this. They have some sort of contractual description of what actors are going to be expected to do. So some of them might say, "Yeah, we're going to be, you know, filming in the tundra of the Sierra Mountains in the winter. You're going to need to be aware that, you know, that's the rigorous filming schedule we're doing," or whatever it may be. You're going to be required to be in a car rigged with a bunch of stuntmen, blah, 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 whatever. So you know the risks. You know what you're getting into. Man, listen to this HBO casting call.
Okay.
For extras and other actors who want to be in their new film or in their new show. What's the show called? I already forgot the name of the damn thing. Hold on. Oh, Westworld, okay? The one I'm excited about, Westworld.
Yeah, right.
Michael Crichton business based on the book, which already has a film with Yul Brynner in it. Anyway. Here's what it says. Extras may be required to... I put this on Twitter yesterday. May be required to perform genital-to-genital touching. Simulate the oral sex with hand-to-genital touching. Contort to form a table-like shape while being fully nude. Pose on all fours while others who are fully nude ride on your back. And ride on someone else's back while you are both fully nude. Unquote.
This sounds like the ad I put on Craigslist when I was looking for a new nanny.
Light cleaning and dusting required. and then
also
this.
May need to be nude and act as a table.
In the shape roughly of a table.
In the shape of a table.
Isn't that the weirdest thing?
That is the weirdest thing. And boy, I cannot wait to see Westworld.
Yeah, Westworld is really, you know, and that's a few people on Twitter are like.
Can pre-buy the Blu-ray now?
The people on Twitter are like, you know, the part that offends me the most. I'm like, what's that? They're like, the part where I'm expected to be in the shape of a table.
Yeah.
Like the rest of it, maybe I could deal with. But yeah. Anyway, right. That cracked me up.
Huh. Finger cuffs, apparently.
So so let's also tell you. Oh, I brought a list. We're going to do this real fast.
All right, let's do the list.
It's called a list of don'ts. And I just wanted, this is good international stuff for people to be aware of. Cool. Brian,
this
do not
be in your travel guide. You should keep this with you at all times in case you need to do any overseas travel.
Yeah, print it, put it in your little fanny pack or bum bag if you're in. See, there's a good example. Don't say fanny pack while you're in the UK. It's a good example.
Oh yeah.
So here's,
is that on there?
Yeah, I don't know actually. Oh, no, okay. It's not. But I'm going to tell you the 18 things you should never do abroad. Okay.
Okay. All right.
In France, don't talk or ask about money. I got to ask Patrick about
really,
that.
Really offensive.
Yeah, that seems super weird to me.
Oh, I'm going to do that. Every time I see him at BlizzCon, I'm going to say, well, how much did that jacket cost you? That's a nice scarf. What'd that run you?
Yeah, what did that run you? How much money you get in your wallet right now, Patrick?
Can you afford to go grab dinner with us right now?
Yeah. That would be really funny. That'd be really funny. Except he's not coming. I'm sad.
Oh, well, then never mind. He couldn't afford it?
Yeah. Yes, that is the answer. Ukraine, don't give an even number of flowers.
Whoa.
This doesn't tell me why. It just tells you you shouldn't do that.
That is insane.
Yeah. No, so if you've got 10 or if you've got 11 flowers, forget it. Give them 12 or you're out. India, don't touch the opposite sex in public, including your own husband or wife.
Wow.
I don't know what that's about. New Zealand, don't honk, otherwise you insult people. It's kind of true here. Mm-hmm. In China, it was just like this navigation tool.
New York, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You can't when traffic's terrible, I think the society around it evolves to understand it just means, I'm coming in, I'm moving over here, okay, look out, I'm coming back here. Like, they just know.
Right.
But when you're in, like, an empty road in Lehigh, Utah, and some guy goes, meh, 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 you're like, okay, jackass, let's go, fisticuffs.
No, in New York, it's sonar, basically. It's how the taxis find their way around.
Yeah, they're like a bunch of land dolphins.
Whales. Sure.
Or whales.
Sure. Any of those.
Sure. Why not? Japan, don't leave tips in Japan.
Very true.
All right. Good. Oh, you can confirm. That's right. You just went.
Yep.
Mexico, don't get offended at locals' jokes.
Wow.
So, all right. So if the locals, what if the locals' joke is, you look like a penis?
Two Coloradoans walk into a bar. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, now. I'm offended by that. Kill him. Norway, don't ask about going to church. Why? That's weird.
Yeah.
You guys know where a local chapel might be?
We must break you.
Turkey, don't show the okay gesture because it's very offensive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is funny because isn't this kind of how you drew a turkey in elementary school?
Oh, yeah,
I guess you traced your flat out hand.
Oh, right. Yeah. You do it out flat. You're right. Because then the thumb would be the neck of the turkey.
That's right.
Yeah.
They also don't like shadow playing on shadows on the wall, making the bunny.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of similar.
Yeah. I'm doing it myself right now to remind myself. In the UK, don't ask how much people earn. I've had some experience directly with this, and I have to agree that they get very cagey.
When I see Terpster at BlizzCon.
You will see him there, yes. Okay. Say, Terpster, what you pulling down now?
What's Yogg's cast making for you these days?
What kind of peel are you eating off that onion? Well, that's not even the same. Ireland, don't try to imitate the Irish accent. Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, hey, could you tell me where I'd find the Guinness plant?
Do you know where Liam Neeson was born? Could you point me in the right direction?
Could you tell me where they sell the Lucky Charms?
I'm even offended. Let's see. Germany, don't congratulate on birthday before the day. That's a strange sentence. Don't congratulate on birthday before the day.
So in other words, don't say, hey, happy birthday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I forget to call you, happy birthday tomorrow. Hope we have a good one. They'll just go,
wow, God, you Germans.
Mein Kampf, you nein schnell.
Which is a book and no fast.
Yeah, right.
Book no fast. Kenya says, don't call people by first name.
No, no. Flip that around.
Don't call people by name first.
I know. It. You're saying it your way made a lot more sense, but kind of the irony of you flipping those two around.
It wasn't intentional.
Don't call people by name first.
Yeah, all right. That makes sense. So what does that mean? Do you have to say, hey, buddy, Bill?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Hey, buddy.
Yo, pal.
Hey, guy. In Chile, don't eat with your hands
bury your face right in the plate.
That's right. But do eat your chili with your hands.
Hands behind your back like you're at a pie-eating contest and Stand By Me.
I wish it was don't eat chili with your hands in Chile. I wish that's okay. Chile,
that
sorry.
That seems like that's smart advice for anywhere.
Singapore, don't eat in public transport. So if you're in a bus or a train, don't eat in there. Actually, I kind of think everyone should adopt that. That's gross. USA. Yeah. Well, you got some guy breathing some muffin on you next to you.
You know what? I agree with that. I don't take public transportation enough to get to see a lot of that. But yeah, I guess there's the light rail out here in Colorado that I've been on a few times recently, and that would irritate me.
It's just gross.
Yeah.
USA, don't forget to leave tips. That's true. We're a very tip-driven society.
Yes.
Italy says don't order cappuccino in restaurants. Final two, hungry.
What? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
In Italy, don't order cappuccino in restaurants.
Yeah, the way they would, my understanding, and I've actually, somebody Italian has told me this before, they it's like us trying to order a milkshake in a fancy restaurant.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because to them, a cappuccino is not a dainty little fancy restaurant drink. It's a stupid, like, I don't know. It's like getting cotton candy at an expensive restaurant.
Right, at the chop house.
Yeah, exactly. Hungry, don't clink glasses when toasting.
Jeez.
So if you're like, ah, to Bill, clink. Oh, shit.
Right.
Get him out.
Wow. So, I mean, you've got to, so I guess you just keep the glass towards you and you don't put in, because if you put in the middle of the table, all of a sudden you got eight people all putting their glasses in the middle of the table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Hungarians.
Now, this, I know, right?
That's half me. So I can talk bad about the Hungarians.
Does this
bother
you?
I'm just going to say this. Yeah. Hungarians.
Does it bother you when I go, hold on. I don't think I have the right thing. Does it bother you when you hear this sound?
Oh, that's it. I'm done, Scott.
That's it. Podcast has had a good run.
Odd fade.
Yep, out. China, final one. Don't give a clock or an umbrella as a present. Now, if someone wants to explain that one to me, I'd be more than happy to listen. A clock or an umbrella? What,
yes.
What the hell?
Well, what do you give Flava Flav or the Penguin?
I know, right? They can't go... Those two would not make it in the Orient.
No, I can picture those two in China.
Yeah. That would be bad. That would be very bad for them.
How about I just take you out to dinner?
Yeah. Everything fine with that?
Yeah. How about I just take you out to dinner? I'm Popeye.
You were Popeye for a second. That was really odd. All right.
Is it great?
We're going to call Daryl and get the rest of this business in hand here.
Yes.
Before things just go totally off the rails.
Daryl... Don't have a shaky cam. What?
Oh, I don't want to be in Daryl.
I guess.
It is Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Winning 6 out of your 8 Heroes games. Woo!
Yeah, that was awesome. We had a run last night. I really needed a break, and it turns out that game provides just the break I needed. So myself and 4 others... Eric Van Skyhawk, or as we call him, Eric Van Diehawk. Sometimes we call him Eric Van Feederhawk.
Oh no, does that mean he's...
He was dying a lot and having some issues. Not really, though. He's actually just fine, but we like to give him a hard time.
That would be me, so just be glad you don't have me planned anymore.
So we had him in there. We had Dan, who will be with us on TMSPM this week. And we had...
Dan, Board Game Man.
Yeah, and then John and Bo, of course, from the Core show at frogpants.com/core. People should be checking that show out. Talk a lot about Heroes. Daryl, are you there?
Well, that depends on Skype.
Well, you sound great right now.
So far, so good.
Oh, yeah, sounds so good. Let me check with Officer Hoo-Ha here. Hold on a second.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
Okay, she thinks everything's fine. We just need to test the phasers.
Sounds like everything's going well.
Everything's great. She's the best. She is the best.
She really
She's
is.
She's my favorite thing to ever come from Star Trek. All right, Daryl's the Trek Nerd, comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek, and it's always a good time, always good fun. Daryl, you feeling it? You good? You ready? Oh, MASH checkup, where are we at? You still suffering through 11, or where are you?
Let's see, I'm in the middle of 10 still.
Okay, so you've got, I'm trying to remember if 10's the short season or if 11 is the short season.
Oh,
11
is short. Somebody in the chat room actually said this and explained which one is the short season.
Okay, must have been 11, and it was probably because, why? Probably because I think they spent a lot of time and money and creative effort on that finale.
Yeah, and they probably took the budget from all the other ones and put it into that one episode.
Well, I had a higher chicken on a bus budget, turns out. A very high chicken budget.
Right.
Daryl, let's get to your question. In the Next Generation episode, Hero Worship, a young boy named Timothy begins to act like Data. Oh, I freaking hate this episode.
Yeah. I am going to be an android. Beep, beep, boop,
I
boop,
I am a robot. Boop, boop, beep.
Bing, boom, bong.
Deanna tells Data to break him from this habit. She wants... that sounds horrible. She wants Data to tell Timothy about his fascination with humanity.
He must break you.
He must break him, Data. They enjoy what looks to be a soda-like drink. Timothy asks Data if he likes his drink. Data says the combination of carbon dioxide and what other element make for an unusual combination of texture and effervescence. So this other thing, aside from carbon dioxide, makes it an unusual combination of texture and effervescence. Here's your options. A, polysaccharides. B, rhodium nitrates. C, solanogen. B, bemanite.
Solanogen
and bemanite.
Bemanites.
Oh, I love those guys. They don't have any technology. They milk cows at 4 a.m. They have beards. They're great.
We're not the Amish. We have the Bemanites.
Like them Bemanites. All right, so there's your options, Daryl. I want you to ponder those. I want you to think about them real hard, because before you answer, you have to answer this. Whoops, this.
Hey.
Oh, we're going to talk about Shatner later. Anyway, it's time for today in Star Trek history.
Oh, great. Well, speaking of William Shatner, on this day in 1988, it was the fourth filming on Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
88?
The fourth filming? Like the fourth day of filming?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You said fourth filming, like they had to start over four times.
Like they filmed it four times.
Whoops.
We'll put this on the director's cut.
You know, I'm just going to say this. They could have used a fifth. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they could have, right?
Maybe they did.
What a poopy show that was, movie that was. All right. So there's your history. That's great, because that movie really sucks. And it does feature the most important moment in Star Trek history, though. It's when Spock, Vulcan nerve pinched a horse. That was a really fantastic moment, and I'll never forget it. Daryl? We don't have any food, do we?
No.
I have a Snickers.
Send us, send Daryl and me some of them pickled string beans.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. I found out they're snap peas. Is what they are.
Snap peas, okay.
So it's the whole pod and everything, but they're so pickled that anything resembling what used to be like fibrous plant material is just pickle. Like it's just pickled to hell and back, and they're so good. So good. I may have to figure that out and send you guys some.
There you go.
I don't know where she bought them. I'll figure it out. Anyway. Yeah, well, by the way, if you want to send us food, hoo-ha, email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, and I'll make arrangements. Okay?
Only send us food. Do not send us hoo-ha.
Yeah, no hoo-ha. And also make it preferably something that's regional to you or unique to where you live, or you can only get it there, or it's super weird. Like, Brian likes things like thickened liquid, things like that.
Oh, yeah. And Scott likes scorpion tails in lollipops.
I couldn't do that one. I couldn't even lick the outside of it. I couldn't do it. It was horrifying, dude.
Yeah.
Daryl, let's get back to your question. Tell me where your head is. How are you feeling? What's your heart tell you to do?
Oh, let's see. He's describing the contents of soda or pop or soda pop, whatever you say.
What do you say?
I say pop.
I say, I think when I grew up, I think we said pop, but lately I say, I don't know what I say now. I don't think I say either. I think either one annoys me. I think I don't say either one. I think I just say, you guys have Dr. Pepper? No? Okay. Mr. Pibb's fine. That's basically it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't ask for a pop anymore or a soda.
I guess you could ask for... you could ask for carbon dioxide and polysaccharides.
Oh. Could I have a carbonated beverage?
With polysaccharides and bentonite in it, please? So wait, was that your answer, A?
I think it is, because that's what's in the stuff, unless he was drinking something really weird.
Well, I don't know. You never know on Star Trek, but maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Let's find out. Is Daryl right about the one he chose? Tell us, Scott Fletcher. Or the guy that yells and screams.
Congratulations. Oh, no, you're a winner.
Polysaccharides combined with the carbon dioxide created the effect Data mentions. Here is a clip of Deanna talking to Data in this episode.
I'd like you to talk to him about your own fascination with humanity. If you explain to Timothy the appeal that humanity has for you, he might find it easier to become a boy again.
I'm a real boy!
There's a little editing going on.
I think that wasn't part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. He's playing a little trick on us, that ice worm.
That line there was weird, though. He'll become a real boy again, or whatever she said.
Yeah, it was weird in the sense that
always
he couldn't
real.
See her air quotes.
That episode sucked.
She was doing the air quotes.
Was she?
Real boy.
My mic went out. Hold on. That's that. Okay. Yeah, no, that's bad. That's a bad episode. Don't watch it. Avoid it.
Skip it.
It's not good. Skip it. All right, Daryl is the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter at The Trek Nerd. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Grumpy Cast. And now, Daryl, play a game with us. Star Trek or something.
This went quick. We in a hurry?
No. Just normal day.
Well, just, you know, we made a point to just get you off the phone as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because of this.
I don't see anything
with
this.
We had this. This is what happened.
Speed it up.
That old lady's serious about hurrying up.
Anyway. Okay. Trek or comics?
Trek or comics? Ready.
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Spider-Man.
Spader-Man?
Spader-Man?
Yeah.
Coming up on the blacklist, oh Spader-Man.
Gosh, dude, that's a terrible name.
Spader-Man. So comics or Trek?
Think about this for a second. In comics, I could see there was a tendency sometimes to do little weird little offshoots and say, you know, some copycat guy in New York became Spader-Man, and he would go around and hit people with a shovel or something dumb.
Right. Or he could have found that in a Trek thing and said, "Oh yeah, this would be a great subject for a Trek."
Yeah, you're not wrong about Trek that either. Blank. You're not wrong. I don't know, dude. I'm torn.
There are no strings on me.
Okay, I'm gonna say that I think you're probably the correct one here. That it probably is some Star Trek reference, TOS. Stupid reference that is leading me down.
Ensign Spaderman.
Yeah, Ensign Spaderman, please report to the bridge. All right, we're going to...
Same track.
Yeah, we'll say that.
Okay. Well, if you recall James Spader, they made a bootleg version of Spider-Man where it's James Spader as Spider-Man.
What? Is that a real thing?
Really?
it's a comic.
Is it a comic, though?
Yes.
It's not like a stupid SNL skit. It's
a YouTube video or something.
It's a bootleg comic.
Oh, all right. Well, it counts. If somebody published that and printed it and called it Spader-Man. And James Spader, how recent is this? When did this happen?
Oh, I don't know. Can't be that old.
That's amazing. Someone find that. I want to see a cover.
There's a bunch of Spider-Man toys that are misprinted Spader-Man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And they made toys of it too.
Oh, they made them or were they misprinted?
Well, no, these are typo. These are like knockoff.
Yeah.
Like typo.
Like Chinese knockoffs or something.
Something, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I'll put one in the chat room of a really good one.
Yeah, I said Japan Chinese. I know what I said, everybody. I know I said Japan Chinese.
There you go. Have a look at that.
Keep your emails to yourselves. All right, I'm gonna take a look at that while I hit this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, that's interesting. Spader-Man. It is the morning news brought to you by
Coverville, where today you'll hear, you won't hear anything because there won't be a Coverville today.
Oh, great.
I've got a dentist appointment that's normally at the time I would do the show, and I've got so much work freelance that I just have to push the show off a couple days. But it will be, when we do have it, it will be a John Lennon smorgasbord, a John Lennon bonanza in honor of what would have been his 75th birthday.
Oh my gosh, think of that.
I know. Can you imagine a 75-year-old John Lennon?
No. This is what happens when you die young in music. You become a legend and you never age again.
You never age. Everybody just thinks of John Lennon as they should.
Well, Paul McCartney's looking more and more like my mom every day, so what are you going to do? No, that's great. That's super cool. Yes. I'm assuming you'll have some Imagine covers. You can't do one without it.
Definitely be an Imagine cover. Yeah, you can't really do a show like that without one. But just to make sure that people do get something entertaining from me today, you will get a Lyrics Undercover talking about the classic Guns N' Roses tune, November Rain. Find out more about the song November Rain today on Lyrics Undercover.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. I used to.
If you're a premium member.
I used to like that song. Gotta be a premium. Yeah,
gotta be premium. You get the free episodes every fourth episode is a free one that you can get on the feed. But
I like your little
to void. Get all of the episodes you need to be.
It's like your little void where prohibited thing at the end of the
little disclaimer.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Pretty good. Let's see here. What's going on in the news? Oh, this is the best story.
Yeah,
an aunt, somebody's aunt, however you want to say it, auntie, whatever. Lost $127,000 lawsuit against her 8-year-old nephew.
Oh my God.
Who jumped into her arms, and that's what he got sued for. This is, you think you have weird people in your family, everyone out there? I'll tell you what, you don't have this lady. A woman who sued her 8-year-old nephew for $127,000 for jumping into her arms at a party, causing her to fall and break her wrist, will not be awarded the money. A Connecticut jury decided on Tuesday, the New York Post reported. The 6-member panel took only 25 minutes. I'm surprised it took that long to deliberate Jennifer Connell's suit against Sean Talara, who is now 12, ultimately ruling unanimously in the boy's favor, says the Post. Connell, of New York City, blamed Talara. There you go.
Yeah.
Star Trek name. For causing the injury on March 18th, 2011, while attending his birthday party in Westport, Connecticut. The 54-year-old Connell testified she loves the very loving, sensitive boy, but thought he should be held accountable. The boy was the only defendant in the case. Are you kidding me?
Not suing her sister or anything like that, just her brother or whatever.
And by the way, listeners, I made sure this was on a reputable news site.
Fox News.
Well, foxnews.com, but yes. one that would be held to a higher standard of accuracy, right, and not
The Onion and whatever some of these other ones have been.
Because for a minute there, I really wondered, right? Like, this seems fake to me. But anyway, she's a human resource manager. Give her a new job. Yeah. And she says she's suffered since the injury, which she described Friday in court as the boy and his father looked on. All of a sudden, he was there in the air. I had to catch him, and we tumbled to the ground, Connell testified Friday, where she recounted arriving at the Tolera home to attend Sean's birthday party, according to the Daily News. I remember him shouting, "Auntie Jen, I love you." And there he was flying at me. You're a raunchy bag of cheese, lady.
Your family should basically just pretend you don't exist.
I would do that. $127,000 to your nephew because he wanted to give you a hug. You're the worst.
Just imagining the immediate aftermath, right? So he jumps and they tumble to the ground. She's like, "Oh, my wrist. I am going to sue your ass."
That is this. I hate this woman. I don't even know her. Screw that.
Yeah. I can hate her visually.
Imagine the precedence this sets. I had a nephew who stayed with me over Halloween once, and he ended up getting the stomach flu or something and barfed all over the place for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one home. Kim was out of town, and I just took care of the kid. Am I going to turn around and go, "All right, sorry, my sister Misha, but I'm going to have to sue you for damages because he ruined these pants I had, and my car has stains in it now"? Like, give me a break. Your family, you take it in the wrist for somebody in your family. Oh, she sucks, dude.
Wow, Gretchen Carlson moves her mouth really weird when she talks if you have the sound off. I'm on this Fox News site I'm trying to see if there is any...
Gretchen Carlson. Gretchen.
Gretchen Carlson of Fox News.
Is she the one that Trump doesn't like?
No, that's...
No, you're right. That's...
Mindy Kelly?
No, something Kelly. It is Kelly. Yeah.
Yes.
Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly, that's it. Yeah. All right. Yeah, she talks fine. You're not looking. But didn't Gretchen Carlson, doesn't she have some kind of palsy or something, doesn't she? I thought there was some deal with that.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, I think that's why.
Oh.
I think it's something. Well, it's not like you were making fun. You just said she looks weird. That's fine.
Well, she moves her mouth like she pulls one. Never mind.
You're totally right. I don't think you should feel bad because you're making a comment about a thing you're seeing. Now it's been clarified, and you'd be like, "Oh, okay, well, I didn't realize." That's fine. What would be a problem is if you went, "Oh, that's really funny looking when she does that, even if it is a palsy." Like, that would be bad. Anyway,
it's funny. She's got a little Lucite footstool for her high heels underneath the Fox News desk.
Oh.
They do a shot from the back left of her interviewing these two people, you see this like little Lucite footstool.
Is she a shorty short? She short?
I don't know.
No, maybe not. Know. All right. Well, good luck to you, Gretchen.
And I'm not going to say anything more about, shortness or whatever.
Math Geek in the chat room says, "I broke my wrist and ankle at the exact same time to avoid falling on my son. Didn't blame him or anyone else, only myself." Well, that's how it should be, Math Geek.
Wow. Well done. See? Way to go, Math Geek, and take one to the team. Oh. Take one for the team.
Also, Math Geek, what is the...
Or take it to the team. I don't know.
What is the precise percentage of bones that you broke in your body? If you're a Math Geek, let's hear it. Let's see what happened there. It's just your wrist and your ankle.
Nicely done.
There's that story. Those people suck. All right, what's next? An R-rated Batman man may be in the works.
Okay.
This news broke that The Killing Joke, the comic book, fantastic graphic novel, The Killing Joke, fantastic book, landed an R rating, was all over the place. And they talked about it at the Batman Blood panel, or Bad Blood panel, at the New York Comic Con. Polygon since clarified the story. According to the producer, James Tucker, Warner Brothers has given a nod of approval to allow the animated direct-to-video adaptation of Alan Moore and Brian Bolland's iconic controversial Batman story to go full R. They just haven't decided if they will take advantage of that yet. So this may hit. It's animated, first of all. The origins or the story that this is based on is very much an R-rated story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's not an easy way for them to do this as a movie without making it R-rated.
Yeah. Ninja Steve just typed Batman : Mexican Batman. What does that mean?
Batman.
Oh.
Batman.
I see now.
Yeah, it's like Mexican Spider-Man is Spader-Man.
Spader-Man. And Batman.
Batman.
I like it. Anyway, that could be interesting. I don't know what that means, but mm-hmm. you know, DC has long held the crown for the best directed to video animation projects for sure. They make Marvel look bad in that way, which is kind of funny since Marvel's owned by Disney now.
Marvel does well with the movies; they do well with the animation and TV.
Yeah, and the adaptation of comic book stories to animated, direct streaming stuff is very, very good. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that'll be quite good. I really like Killing Joke generally.
Yeah.
William Shatner has blasted his ex co-star George Takei again, referring to him as a very disturbed individual.
Man, what's the deal? What's up with that?
I don't know. I thought they had buried this hatchet, but anyway, Shatner, who played Captain Kirk, I guess we don't have to tell people that. He lashed out at Takei in an interview, and the Australian news.com published it on Monday. Quote, "He is a very disturbed individual, the truth of the matter is," Shatner said of Takei. "I don't know him. I haven't seen him in 25 years. I don't know what he's up to. It's not a question that that has any meaning to me. It's like asking about George Foreman or something." I love that answer.
Yeah, okay, so he's a disturbed individual, but really I haven't talked to him in 25 years.
Yeah.
And now I'd like to take off George Foreman, who could seriously pound me to the ground like a railroad spike.
Yeah. And they call this the latest volley in what they're referring to as a decades-long beef with Takei. Who set his phaser to diss and took aim at Shatner in his 84 autobiography, To the Stars. Shatner later criticized Takei in his own 2011 book, Shatner Rules, Your Guide to Understanding the Shatnerverse and the World at Large.
which of these two book titles makes the author sound more stable?
A little bit more, I'd put it on the hands of To the Stars than I would. Shatner Rules, Your Guide to Understanding the Shatnerverse and the World at Large is a little self-serving. My guess is that's kind of the problem, the crux of it. You probably, and this I'm just pure conjecture, I've never met either man, and I really don't know, but my guess is the Shatner ego is one of legend.
Yeah.
And the Sulu or the Takei ego is far less than that, but takes issue with the larger ego. Mm-hmm. So they probably just butted heads on that point and never got over it.
Well stated, yeah. I think that's probably right.
But man, that's just a weird thing to say. He's a very disturbed individual. I also like him bringing up George Foreman for no reason. Just because it's George, I guess, probably.
Oh, okay. You think it's just a George thing?
I think that's what he was doing. Because what else did he mean? I mean, not that it would mean anything, but I don't think it was just a random poll. I think it was because his first name is George also, and it's like, well, it could be any George.
I just ate a panini and it was made in a George Foreman grill, so it's still in my mind.
I hate him. He's a very disturbed individual. Let's see. Oh, I like this story. Brian, I wish this was me.
Okay.
A photo purchased for $2 at a junk shop. $2.
$2.
A rare legendary photo of Billy the Kid is worth $5 million now. $5 million.
Wow.
$2 at a junk shop. This got purchased, and now it's worth $5 million.
Wow, holy cow.
Yeah, $5 million big, as the kids say.
Why can't I ever find stuff like that?
I don't know. The Outlaws, whose real name was William H. Bonnery, no, Bonnery, was playing croquet with his gang and Lincoln County regulators in the late summer of 1878 when this 4x5-inch tiny tin-type image was captured, according to the Americana company Kagan's, which is negotiating for the sale of the photo. The picture was purchased by collector Randy Guerrero for $2 as part of a miscellaneous lot at Fresno Junk Shop in 2010.
I believe that's Guijarro.
Is it Guijarro?
Guijarro.
My name is Randy Guijarro. Did I ever tell you about the time I bought a $2 print?
And I tried to decide if I was going to buy some chorizo or this photo.
Or this machete. The image's backstory will be the subject of Nat Geo's special Sunday night PM thing, Billy the Kid, New Evidence, narrated by Kevin the Costner. Kevin Waterworld Costner is doing it.
New evidence suggests that he may have played croquet. We have the photo now to back it up.
That really kind of tarnishes the tough guy image. It really does, right? Billy the Kid, yeah. That's pretty good. But that, can you imagine?
I won!
This is like finding a Superman issue number one, Detective Comics number one, in your your wall or something.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just amazing. This doesn't happen very often, I think, in the modern world. Everything's all dug up.
Right, and it's stuff like this is what spurs people to run to antique shops and like, oh, this could be worth something. This could be worth something. And it's probably, start some hoarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This might be worth something someday.
Yeah, start keeping, what do we have today that anyone is going to care about in 30 years? I'm trying to think.
Photos of Justin Bieber's wiener.
Yeah, but there are no, it's just all digital now.
You can
find
that online, yeah.
Yeah, like.
That's right, yeah. I mean, you can find, exactly. Once this photo's scanned and put online, it's like, all right, well, everybody can see that photo, mm-hmm. so that takes out some of the.
Yeah, it takes almost all of it out of it. Like, the there's no singular object of great worth anymore. It's all just out there. Like,
right.
Like think of,
wow.
We were talking about Playboy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just. You know, it used to be this one thing that dudes would go get in the 60s because it was the only way you could get it. And it was a subculturally subversive thing. And now it's like, you don't have to do that now.
Totally. Well, if you look at, all right, so let's say, this generation now that is Nick and Tristan and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, maybe collecting magic cards or things like that. But the generation after them, they're going to be fewer and fewer people collecting tangible things that they feel like they've got to get all of because mm-hmm. things are available online. So, something like this that would be bought by a collector it's going to become rarer and rarer for that to happen.
Yeah.
Collectors are going to be so rare, you'll be able to sell one for millions of dollars.
Yeah. And pretty soon, what you were, you're in the infant days of this, but you're 3D printing some cool things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give us 10 years, we'll be fabricating car engines in our garage.
Right.
We'll be making things that we no longer need Ace Hardware Store for, or,
it'll be a replicator.
Yeah, basically, yeah. In a lot of ways, that freaks people out because it means entire industries change and, I remember hearing a radio thing about when Lotus 1-2-3 was made and how seismic that was in the CPA field, because there were way more accountants then because everything was on paper ledgers and it took freaking forever and you needed multiple people. So an accountant's office would have a team of like 50 people to take care of your taxes. Like, it was this huge industry. Lotus 1-2-3 comes in and disrupts everything. The fear was that it would, all these accountants would lose their jobs, and that did happen, but it actually created a ton more jobs in and around it. So the fear of something changing the world, like digital versus publishing or whatever, is always a fear, but it ends up usually being kind of bullcrap because the other thing created jobs we didn't even know we needed yet.
Yeah.
So it's always, it's always interesting to me, but who knew, man? Computer spreadsheets came in and all the CPAs went, oh shit.
Mm-hmm. And to some degree, I mean, people still do. Some people do their taxes online themselves, or do with TurboTax or whatever. And there's some truth to that. I don't think it's as.
Yeah, but think what an actual spreadsheet program does to people who use paper and ledgers. Just right. Changed everything. Yeah. And this is like the late 70s, early 80s, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Anyway, that's it for the news. Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and a couple of phone calls. Before we get there, though, we have to pass through the veil of music. Brian brought some.
That's right. Stephanopoulos, a.k.a. Steven, emailed in, said, well, it's that time again, my birthday. Tried this last year, didn't get it, but let's try again. Both songs remind me of my wife and daughter, and if you can't play those, then this vegan says, ask you to play Chicken Tender Bacon Cheddar Ranch. Oh,
damn it. That was fast. They got really fast. It was really
quick. Chicken Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
There you go.
I will let you know, by the way, that there's a period at the end of all of that, mm-hmm. but other than that, no other punctuation or anything.
Mom? Right. Sounds like my mother.
Thank you. P.S. Oh, there is a period after the P in P.S. Because of you guys that I've started my own podcast, my friends were still in the early stages.
Right.
Because of you guys I started my own podcast, my friends.
My friends, with my friends, he probably meant.
Maybe. Yeah. With my friends, we're still in the early stages.
Yeah.
Hey, have somebody else do this, the show notes for you guys.
Yeah.
Steven.
Every
just
week
kidding.
It's just
we
a
love
big,
you.
It's
we
just
love
a,
you, Steven.
It's just a big scrambled paragraph of never-ending words. Next up on the show, we will talk about this, and then we will keep talking about the next thing.
Very good. Wow.
Beep, boop, beep.
So on the album Two Decades of Love Metal by the band Him, short for His Infernal Majesty.
Wow.
Which came out in 2012. By the way, it's kind of funny that, you know, first Monday this week we had two, if I remember correctly, it was like two acoustic songs. You know, Sarah Bareilles and an acapella track, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Yesterday we had two kind of, you know, new punk bands, SR-71 and Gigantor. Today we're going to have some heavier crap for you guys. So His Infernal Majesty in the middle of the show here. Their cover of K's Strange World. It's K-E with a accent over the E. Here's Strange World by Him.
This is Cresta's new flavor, black currant. I wonder what's...
Tim!
five fruity flavors.
It's frothy, man.
Hello, it is Heinrich. I was the one who sent 36 wild dogs into your room.
This is the morning stream. Behave yourselves.
We're back. We are back. That was rocking.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the chat room said, is there a way to make it so the sounds level when the music comes on? Like, no, that's just loud music. That's just,
well,
that's,
yeah,
music, right?
I think he was just saying that our talking is comes through quieter than the music sometimes.
Well, yeah, especially if it's a song like that. That's the whole idea of a big,
well, I know, loud, but
rock,
I mean,
song.
Yeah, so yeah, I know you go through it, like, you when you grab my music, you level it.
Yeah, right? I bring it down, actually, so it's lower.
Yeah.
So and in the actual final MP3, it actually appears to be lower than our voices, but because you've got this full range of sound, like this wall of sound, it comes out about equal. So, anyway, hey everybody, we're back.
Hey
man.
Hey everybody.
Hey, what's going on? It's time for us to do something without Nicole. She's still on maternity leave from her TMS duties, raising that sweet little girl who now is, I believe, free of all the apparatus and crap that they had on her for the early birth.
And she's home from the hospital, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. They've been home.
Oh yeah, she has been for a while, right?
A little while, yeah. I think they just finally got the tubes out though, and she was never in any major danger or anything. She just was premature, so they have, you know, a lot of precautions and stuff like that. But anyway, doing well. Mother's doing well. So we continue the tradition anyway, and here it is. All right, back up the truck. Let's do a little recommendals, where we take fun, cool stuff we're watching on streaming services, and we tell you about them and why we like them, and so on and so forth. Today's no different. Brian, you brought along with you a clip that I will play first, and let's see if people can
guess.
And
I don't even want to do any setup. I want to see if you recognize what this is.
All right, let's give it a shot. Here's Brian's recommendal clip. Ooh, what's that sound? Do you hear that?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, I don't hear me anymore.
Oh, yeah, you're on like a room mic suddenly.
All of a sudden it just changed?
Like it sounds like a webcam.
Yeah, hi. Okay, I'll figure that out while we're doing this.
Weird. It's like you're in a can. All right, here we go. I'm playing it. Here's his recommendal file.
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human. I think he was a mandroid. The only time he reacted was when he saw the dead body.
Yeah, that's a bleeping dead alien body if I ever bleeping.
I have no idea, dude.
There we go. Audio's back, right? You hearing me right now?
No, you still sound like you're on a can.
Oh, okay. Let me fix that. There was just apparently some little glitch in the interwebs.
That's weird.
It'll give people... Oops.
No, that was weird.
Good.
Yeah, everything's fine now, everybody.
You can't even blame that on the cat.
No. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be true.
Right. So did you recognize that?
I didn't
clip?
Recognize that at all. Something about finding an alien someplace. I don't know what that is. Is that... Wait, hold on. Is it the... It's not that... Simon, what's the Pegs thing where they go to Comic-Con or whatever? All right.
The one, the alien's name is the title of the movie that I can't remember.
Can't think of it either.
Yeah. Paul?
Paul, that's it.
No, it was not that. It was a TV show. It was a great episode of a TV show that's going to be coming back soon to Fox. I saw an ad for the new season, the return of this show.
Okay.
And the mandroid in question that they're talking about in the clip, the one who makes that noise, is none other than David Duchovny.
Oh, X-Files.
On his discovery of the body.
Oh, fantastic.
As recalled by Jose Chung. This is one of the best episodes. Like, Home might be the greatest episode of the X-Files, or at least one of the most disturbing episodes of the X-Files. Mm-hmm.
That's that one originally didn't get on the air, but they later showed it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the one with Deep Roy.
Yeah, that was good.
But Jose Chung's From Outer Space is one of my favorites, one of a lot of fans of the show's favorites. It's the 20th episode of the third season, and it's on Netflix streaming. You can go watch it. Alex Trebek, Jesse Ventura, Charles Nelson Reilly. I mean, there's so much to love about this episode. Yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
Oh, really?
This episode? No, I don't. But it's been a long time since I've seen any X-Files other than that one we watched for Film Sack. So I need to brush up, man. It's all in there. I can watch it.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura and Alex Trebek are the Men in Black.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's such a great episode. Go, you know.
All right.
If you haven't seen it in a while, or if you've never seen any episode, I just spit on myself. If you've never seen any episode of The X-Files, then this is a good one to jump into. It won't give you a flavor for the whole show, but it will. You'll be entertained.
I like the quirky, offshooty ones like that. Like the ones that got a little weird. I like that a lot.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that 6-episode return or whatever it is they're going to do. I think that sounds exciting. When is that? This fall? No. Or this winter?
2016.
Okay. Oh, early
2016.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm all in on that. Bring it on.
Yes.
Here's mine. You see if you can guess what this is. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Doc says I got cancer. First thing I ever got.
Cancer?
No shit. He said you're gonna die in 6 months. I said, oh hell. So I'm gonna wind myself to death.
Okay.
I'm gonna wind
myself to death. Any idea?
Wow.
I'll give you a hint. 87 is the year.
Okay.
Another hint, it was a big Oscar contender. Based on a big book, I guess. I never read it. And it stars, that's a musician. I'll give that, there's the hint.
Okay.
It's a musician that you would know. Starts with a T.
Wow. Tom Waits?
Yes, that was Tom Waits. Very good. Any idea what film it was?
No.
A very young Tom Waits, although his voice is identical to what it is.
Yeah, today. I mean, I know, like, you know, 200 Cigarettes or whatever it was called, the Jim Jarmusch thing. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of what he was in 87, other than Renfield in Dracula.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in that. You're right, he's in that. He's also the pawn shop guy in Book of Eli. He's great in that.
Oh, really? Oh, I forgot about that. Okay. He
sells him a gun or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. What is that?
It is a movie called, I mean, it's super highfalutin, like fancy Oscar bait movie, but it's called Ironweed.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'd never seen it. It's Jack Nicholson, Tom Waits.
Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah. She's amazing in it. My gosh, that woman. You know, we all just, it's like the foregone conclusion that she's great. Like people just know that she's great. But if you haven't actually seen her act lately, you forget. She's pretty singular. I don't know that there's maybe ever been an actress quite like her in films. She is really, really hard to beat. She's fantastic in this.
Wow.
Just gut-wrenchingly heartbreaking story about people during the... I want to say it was
Three Mile Island, right?
No.
Was that? No, I'm thinking of Silkwood.
Yeah, you're thinking of Silkwood. Same director, though, funny enough. Okay. Oh, no, Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman? Spider-Lady.
Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Oh,
okay, yeah.
With Raul Julia.
Yeah. Same director as that, but I never saw that, so I couldn't even speak to it. But basically, this is a story about, like, what's it called when everybody lost all those shirts back in the day?
The Great Depression.
The Great Depression.
The Great Washing Machine Malfunction of 1972.
That's the one. It's about that and basically train hobos and quote-unquote bums, they call them in the movie, just trying to get along, trying to figure out what's what, dealing with old family issues and other issues, and Jack Nicholson's really good in it. And it's one of those movies. The reason I want to recommend this one is it looks like it was made a year ago. That's how well it holds up.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Looks great. Sounds great. Incredible acting. Totally worth seeing. And here's how you can see it. This is part of that Paramount dump on YouTube. Mm. So Paramount put a bunch of old movies up on YouTube, and this is one of them, and it's worth it.
I like your phrasing.
Yeah, Paramount video dump. Take a dump, Paramount. Totally worth checking out. Tom Waits is great in it. Everyone is. They're all good in it. And cool. It's kind of heartbreaking, but also poetic in some weird ways, and does not feel like an old movie at all. Like, this does not feel like an 80s movie.
And I know we've watched movies on YouTube before, but HD, everything sound good.
Yeah,
all that
sounds
stuff.
Sounds great. Look great on a television via the YouTube app. Played the entire movie without interruption. Just fantastic.
Does PS4 have a YouTube app?
It does.
Okay, good.
So does, I think they all do. I think everything has a YouTube app.
Yeah. Okay. Because my preferred thing is the PS4 for Hulu and Netflix and Amazon. So
it's good on all those things.
Great.
I do want to see that new Roku and the new Apple TV and compare them, but I'm not buying them both.
Here's where I think the YouTube would differentiate itself well, not differentiate itself, but improve their standing as a movie viewing resource.
All right.
And can be able to compete with Netflix and Hulu and all that.
Right.
Is if you searched for Ironweed and you didn't find every single thing with the word iron or weed or...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy playing golf with his iron, smoking weed.
They've almost kind of screwed themselves in the sense that they have this incredibly accurate algorithm for searching through dumb videos, so that you could just start typing the word Shatner Sulu and get all the arguments about Shatner and Sulu. Like, it's really good at what it does for for just all the garbage on YouTube. But they don't have a really succinct way. It's almost like they need a separate search.
Like a YouTube Pro or something like that.
Like a separate search where YouTube I could just type in, you know, I could type in Mad Men and get Mad Men.
Right. You'd see something that would say, all right, this is from Vivo. It's an official video from the band.
Yeah.
This is an official TV show clip from NBC. This is an official movie from Paramount. Something like that that would separate your selections.
Yeah, the wheat from the chaff.
Iron weed every day.
So anyway, I really like it, and I think if you like a nice serious period piece, then you're in for some interesting stuff there. So
cool.
Do check it out. And she blew my mind in this.
Wow. Loving the street.
Yeah, loving the street. She's great. Devil Wears Prada. Let's call Brian or Tom. I mean, you're Brian.
Yeah, I'm already here.
I'm not calling you.
Are still here.
It's a terrible idea. As it turns out, it wouldn't even work. It would just say, hey, he's already on the phone.
Hooray for Tom's tech time.
That's a pretty good version of that, but here's his real one.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man about town is Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Scott and Brian.
Hello,
Tom.
It's good to have you here. What's going on? How are you? How was your day? What's going on?
The name of the game is delivery, Scott. When do you want it? How fast do you want it? And who will bring it to you? In addition to Postmates and Deliv comes Uber. You know them from rides.
Yeah.
Now you'll know them from delivering trinkets from Shopify, as well as pizzas from local restaurants.
Hold on. Is this true?
Wow,
are you?
Really?
You're dropping a bomb on me here. I didn't hear about this. Is this real? Uber's getting into that? Wow. All right.
Uber has been experimenting with this in New York, but they say it is no longer an experiment. They're going to start doing the pilot in San Francisco and Chicago and with intentions to expand it to cities beyond. And unlike, say, Postmates or Google Express or Amazon, whatever, they're not partnering with big stores like Macy's or Target. They're partnering with local shops and restaurants to say, hey, you want to list your stuff and give a delivery option? We'll handle that for you.
Yeah, I feel like that's a differentiating factor and
for sure.
Will probably appeal to a good deal many of people. But is it basically, here's the question. Let's say Tom's a Uber driver. He does this just to, you know, he's making men's meet with the Uber job there.
Sure, yeah. Patreon crashes.
Yeah.
A lot of money, got to drive an Uber.
They get hacked, everyone takes it all. So then, if that's the case, are you the same guy? Like, do you 1 minute get a notification, hey, be on the corner of whatever to pick a dude up, and then right after that, you need to take a pizza over to Bill's house? Like, how do you know?
I mean, that's an interesting question. If I define myself as a passenger driver,
right,
but I take someone a piece of macrame,
yeah,
am I the same guy?
I don't know.
No, in all seriousness, I don't know what options drivers have for that.
Yeah,
it's a really good question. I assume that you as a driver can choose to be participating in both.
Right.
Because you as a driver can accept or not accept ride requests, right?
Yeah, that's the whole
point. So I
assume
you
could
do the same with delivery.
Sure, sure. And the way that, if I've never done it, so I don't know, but isn't the way that works is if there could be 20 people around and just the first guy who says, yeah, I'll do the pickup, he gets it, right? Isn't that how that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's first come, first serve. So there's probably a way to opt in for both for those who are really digging on being an Uber driver and just
and they're doing what's really interesting is Shopify and BigCommerce are part of this, so all of the people who are parts of those networks in the areas that Uber does this can allow deliveries, and then it restricts it to drivers that happen to be in the area. I think it's within 20 miles or something.
Wow, even that seems like...
It seems pretty wide. I'm going to make sure I remember that right. But it is pretty large.
Well, it seems to me that this will be part of what we talk about today on DTNS. And so rather than spill what I have an opinion on, and I'll put this in the Slack and we can talk about it. But
all right.
there's an opportunity here for a big giant online retailer that we're all familiar with. And so I just, I'll put it in the notes and we'll talk about it later. It would be interesting here, but hey guys, I'm on DTNS today, 2:30.
Yeah, but doesn't this giant online retailer already have their own service that's like this?
They do, but I just want to put a wrinkle in the cheese a little bit.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Ooh, so you're saying, even though this big online retailer, whose name may or may not rhyme with Damazon, already does short deliveries in places like Seattle.
Yes.
You've got some cheese.
I've got some cheese to wrinkle.
Some cheese that needs a wrinkle.
I'm going to put some wrinkle in that cheese, and everyone's going to go, "Whoa, Scott, hold on now.
That's not even Colby. What is that?
Yeah. What kind of cheese are you making? Some homemade vegan armpit cheese or something. But anyway, I will take it easy.
Get vegans. That delivered.
Yeah, and the vegans are going to deliver me some emails
Seattle
on that.
Has.
Anyway, I'm this is very interesting to me because you always wonder, well, what is, you know, is Uber, is that all they do? They just keep their expansion plans are just let's move into other cities, other countries and get more.
Oh yeah. No, if you're not following the Uber space, folks, they're always trying all kinds of things. They've tried Uber Moving here in LA. They have Uber Eats, which has a limited menu, but the cars just keep all of the food in these hot bags. So the idea is you get it within 10 minutes.
Hot bags. That sounds all right.
So you only have two or three items to choose from, but once you pick them, they're there real fast.
As opposed to any customization or anything like that, you get chicken or fish.
Well, here's the funniest thing I've read in a while. Somebody in the article the other day said, or I read that he said, I don't know the quote exactly. This is going to be stupid that I don't remember it, but it said basically, the San Francisco tech scene, or as I like to call it, what isn't my mother doing for me anymore scene. does this add anything to the argument that entire bubble of the, what's it called? The service,
economy? I wonder, I feel like the Uber delivery thing is a little bit different. It kind of overlaps with what that guy was saying. Yeah. That was more about like getting TaskRabbit to do stuff for you or having your laundry picked up and washed and brought back to you. It felt more service oriented to his point.
Yeah.
But some of this stuff applies too. Like, I don't want to have to run out and buy toothpaste. I'll just have Uber bring it to me. So I can see, but there are other times when I'm like, yeah, I mean, if I need to buy some lumber, big and heavy. that I don't want to have to go and wrangle with and I can just have it delivered. That's perfectly practical. The other point that he made that definitely applies to this is not everybody can afford these services because they, you know, they add a service fee. Mm-hmm. They make things more costly.
Sure, sure. And then, you know, look, if I lived in San Francisco and given the transportation limitations there, I would be all... I mean, I can understand why that's the city where this stuff seems to spring out of because I'd rather pay a service fee and have a thing brought to me than brave the...
Well,
traffic.
New York is a great example, right?
Yeah.
People don't generally drive cars as much there.
Yeah.
Because they have subways and buses and taxis. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are some things you don't want to lug around on a subway, bus, or taxi.
Right. And you know that service fee is worth it considering what it's going to have to take for that guy to get that subway sandwich to your house or
and
whatever.
Frankly, if you can afford to live in Manhattan, you can afford that damn service.
That is a good point.
Right?
You could probably afford to have a dude do it all for you anyway. But yeah, point well made. I'm sure that'll come up later among other fantastical discussions.
I know there's probably a couple of people who live in Manhattan going, no, because I live in Manhattan, I can't afford anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, yeah. I mean, yes. In San Francisco, they're saying similar things. They can afford one-bedroom studio apartment for $8,000 a month is about the best it gets there.
So true.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else on the horizon that we should mention here? Or you want to save that as a surprise for later today?
What?
For the show, you know?
Anything else you want to tease for DTNS?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I was missing something. I was like, what? We have a big
Scott
surprise?
Scott was putting another wrinkle. He was putting another wrinkle in the cheese.
Yeah. No, stay tuned for the wrinkle in the cheese, folks, coming up on DTNS with Scott Johnson later today. But no, it's just the normal tech news. Apple got sued by the University of Wisconsin Alumni Research Fund Foundation, and they won. So Apple will probably appeal, but... It's a bad setback for Apple and processor patents. Woohoo! Yeah. We'll be talking about that.
I'd like to talk about why they can't seem to keep any 6S pluses in stock either. That'd be a fun conversation.
Oh, so dang popular.
I can't get the damn thing. Your wife got hers though, right?
Eileen got hers. She ordered on the night it became available directly from T-Mobile.
Yeah.
T-Mobile screwed up the order and didn't deliver it on day one.
Yeah.
But she did eventually get it, and they gave her $100 credit as an apology for being late.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I need
she
T-Mobile
got a
to
Duke
screw me up.
And $100, Scott.
I can't what find the got? Duke. I can nothing. It's me at 8 a.m. every morning looking at the little web thing going, all right, which of my three Apple stores in town or all these AT&T stores, who has it? None of them is the answer. There was a rose gold 64 gig for about 5 seconds yesterday, and I was tempted. I almost did it.
You should have grabbed it.
No, I can't. I don't want, it's not just the rose gold. I want 128 gig.
Oh, I see. It wasn't the color.
It was. Listen, if there was 128 gig rose gold, I would totally do it.
I'm with you on that.
I'd be fine. And then
capacity Uberalis.
But my luck, it would be the very next day a bunch of grays would show up.
No, that's the way to make sure that they get released for you to buy something on a compromise.
That's a really good point. Well, that'll be later today, 2:30 Mountain Time, DTNS live with me and Tom, and it's gonna be great. Can't wait. Anything else, Tom, you'd like to mention?
No, just as usual, more and more folks get picking up Citadel 32 with cover by Scott Johnson and a nifty little post-apocalyptic story involving people on the moon and monks on the ground. So if you like that kind of thing, sci-fi-ish stories, check out TomMerrittBooks.com.
You had me at monks on the ground. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. Follow him there if you aren't already. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. See now. Ya. All right, there he goes.
Very good.
My wife brought me thick-cut bacon.
Ooh.
Mm. You don't even know, dude.
I don't even know.
It's like jerky in bacon form.
I'm telling you, Scott, I don't even know.
It's really good. All right, we got a couple of phone calls. I'm going to just rip through these. This one here is about somebody who wants to text us.
Hello, this is Will from Maine. I don't know if this is lazy, brilliant, or just stupid. But if you could link a texting service with this number, that would be awesome. I mean, I guess it would basically be tweeting, but without all the tweeting prep, I'd love to be able to just text thoughts. Who knows? Love the show, though.
Listen.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, I'm a pro. I'm pro living like you want to live, man. I'm not here to tell you how you should live or whatever, but really.
Smoke weed every day.
For real, dude. For real. I really don't know what he's... I guess he's just saying he'd love to be able to text us all the time.
Like, as opposed to getting on and tweeting and something like that. He wants to be able to give us his response and thoughts. And I'm guessing he probably can't make it into the chat room to do it live.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
That's a good place, though. That's the equivalent. And
keep on being you, though. I like the cut of his jib.
You be you, dude.
Yep. Here's there's somebody.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
Giving him a hard time, but I totally dig what he's doing.
I like that
down.
Guy a lot. Yeah, he's great. Yeah. I want to listen to the Grateful Dead while I hang out with him. Here is someone calling us to task on some references we made. Here you go.
Hey, Scoot and Brain. This is Stephanie from Green Bay. So I'm a little behind on TMS, but you guys were talking about a story about a woman, a grandmother who tried to hire a hitman to kill a homeless guy that gave her grandchildren life. What I noticed about that story is that Scott concluded with saying, "Please shoot that old man because he gave my grandchildren life," like referring to the old lady, like, you know, making her sound like a grandma. The thing is, she was only 50 years old, and if I remember correctly, I think you both, Scott included, are, you know, just a few years shy from 50. So I hope that just means you're going to fuck like a couple of old men in just a few years. So looking forward to that. Love the hobo.
All right, listen. I would like to correct one thing. We are not a few years away. We are more than that. A few is three, okay? We are at least 4 years away from that horrible day.
Okay.
So we are several years away. All right? Just keep that in mind.
Wow.
Do not remind me. Don't never show me. Give me the odds or what does Han Solo
say? There's a button there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. She pushed it. Beep, beep. Boop, boop, beep, beep. Back the truck up. All right.
Bing, bong, bong, bong.
That's it for calls. And by the way, it's a super easy thing to leave us one. Just call us 801-471-0462. It's such a piece of cake. It's almost ridiculous to have to even tell you. It's 801.
It's silly how easy it is.
It really is. 801-471-0462. Our email address to send attachments and or emails and or whatever to is themorningstream@gmail.com. However, if you're trying to send music requests, The website will tell you how to do it at frogpants.com/TMS. Or, Brian, they can go directly to...
I'm sorry.
Music request?
tinyurl.com/TMS request. It's funny. I was actually going to talk about that in the song intro. So tinyurl.com/TMS requests.
Nice. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson in Coverville on Twitter. And as always on Reddit, frogpants.reddit.com. Let's get the H out of here. Tomorrow's windy day and then PM day. So we got a little bit of both.
Windy PM.
Windy PM.
Windy in the AM.
What else is there?
Dan in the PM.
There really is nothing else to say. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else going on?
DTS no, I was later? Just reading something that Dave just replied in the Slack about, well, about that texting thing. So you'll read about it as well.
Oh,
it's an interesting
really?
Thought. And I think I'd be all for that.
Well, I'm all Twitter-pated now.
Yes.
All right. Well, good times, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Brian, take us out. Give us something good.
Hi, stressless and burdenless. Recently, I shed some toxic friendships, in quotes, and started helping my sister do the same. It's so freeing and allows growth of my healthy friendships. Yay! It all stemmed from a Jose N. Harris quote, which I don't have to read on the air. It's a little long. I'm going to read it anyway. There comes a time in your life when you walk away from all the drama and people who create it. You surround yourself with people who make you laugh. Forget the bad and focus on the good. Love the people who treat you right. Pray for the ones who do not. Life is too short to be anything but happy. Falling down is a part of life. Getting back up is living. That's
right,
like
right
eight
on,
quotes
dude.
Right
yeah,
there.
That's great.
The song I've requested may not be what you'd normally play, but I do know Scott would love it. Hey, choose it if you would love it. Don't worry about what Scott and I think. If you can't play that song, any song with the same feel and message of giving up the bad and embracing the good would be great. Or, you know, something to do with a pig, a hen, a cow, and a hootie would be okay too.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Got it.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Well, pig, tender crisp bacon, cheddar, cow. Wow, well done. Love the show, though, Heather J.
All right.
So it's funny, the song that she picked, she says, not something I would normally play. Not only do I play stuff like this, but I've actually played this song, and I'm going to play it again. Why the hell not, right?
Sure.
This is the cover of Tears for Fears' Shout, released by the band Disturbed. Kind of keeping with the same theme of the rock we've been playing today. This is from the 10th anniversary edition, or annery, 10th anniversary edition of The Sickness. Came out in 2000. It is Shout 2000, performed here by Disturbed.
Shout! Shout! Let it all out! These are the things I can do without. Come on! I'm not talking to you, so come on! Shout! Shout! Let it all out! These are the things I can do without. Come on! I'm not talking to you.
shout, shout to me. Come on, let me shout, shout, shout.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Na 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 racist.